Okay. Hi, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome to the enterprise development session. I know it's been a long week. This is the very last block of sessions. Hopefully the information that that you've gotten and will take home with you kind of offsets the fatigue that you're probably either feeling now or will feel on the way home. And hopefully that continues for the next hour or so. My name is Cliff Strom. I'm a program manager on the Windows Phone team. This is Sean Henry. He'll be coming up about the halfway point to give some hands-on demonstrations of the company hub, how to develop and deploy that. So we hope that by the time you leave this this session, you take with you a thorough understanding of the enterprise app deployment feature that we built into Windows Phone 8, as well as you should be able to develop, debug, and deploy your very own company hub application. And you'll be able to take that application, customize it, and license it to companies. Or you can take that and deploy it broadly within your own company and make the make work more efficient for your coworkers. So let's go ahead and get started. For my part of the presentation, I'm going to discuss several things, including the some high-level goals that we came up with at the inception of the feature, as well as a high-level overview. And I'll break down into very more specifics on several topics, including how to create an account and acquire a certificate for use within the enterprise ecosystem, how to enroll phones in your enterprise, and how to deploy applications to those phones. And finally, what happens at runtime on the phone when users go to launch an application and this periodic phone home that we have, and what is that, and why do we do it? So I'll start with some goals. The first one is really kind of the uber high-level goal that we had that defines the feature, and is to enable companies to deploy business applications to their employees both privately and securely. So that specific goal had certain ramifications to it that for the feature. The first one is, how do you get it to your employees? You know, how do you determine who gets your applications? So we have a process of enrollment that an enterprise or company will generate a specific, what we call an app enrollment token, that I'll get into more details later, and distribute that token to the phones that it wants to receive its own applications. And only those phones that have that token are allowed to install and run apps from that specific enterprise. How do you do it privately? We got some feedback very early on that companies want to own the entire lifecycle of their application. When you go and submit an app to the marketplace, as most or all of you know, there's a process of certification and ingestion that can take a number of days. And that turnaround time, while it provides value, is something that the enterprise wanted to control by themselves and have more flexibility. So we've removed that, and we've given the capability for the enterprise to deploy its own applications on its own timeline. Finally, how do you do it securely? Well, we've given companies the ability. We aren't going to mandate how secure they need it. Various companies will dial up or dial down the security that they need that's relevant and important to their own application. But we will highly recommend that the users of their employees, generally, are authenticated so that your enrollments and your applications, the company assets, are only going to phones that the company chooses. So that the first goal was really focused on the company and giving it control and what it can do. But as you know, Windows Phone prides itself at being a very personal experience. It's not a Windows Phone, it's my Windows Phone, it's your Windows Phone. And we wanted to take the essence of that and push that into the enterprise feature as it made sense. Now, we did want to make sure that the enterprise has the right to protect its own data. It's paramount that it is its data and needs to protect it. But at the same time, we wanted users to feel in control of their device and not be overwhelmed by an experience where they feel that the enterprise has taken over their phone just because they enrolled to get company applications. So again, there's a couple specific things that or examples that that achieve that goal. The first one is that IT departments, enterprises, are not allowed to push applications kind of silently to a user. So I'm not going to pick up my phone and discover a whole wash of applications that just magically appeared, and then it's kind of disconcerting. You know, how many apps did it install? What else did it change? You know, what happened? So we've removed the ability to do that. All applications that are put on the phone, all enrollments with any companies have to be confirmed by the user. So I have to say, yes, I want to enroll in this enterprise, or I want to install this app. The one slight caveat to that is that once I've installed an application, I've already made that confirmation, I do want this app, a device management server can push updates silently to keep that app up to date. It might be important to get a QFE out or functionality that the user doesn't have to go through extra steps. So a device management server can push updates to existing apps. So we've also want to keep, to the extent possible, the consumer data and enterprise data separate from each other. Right? So specifically, an enterprise is not allowed to figure out what marketplace applications I have installed on my phone. We figured, again, that when I join an enterprise as a consumer, I really want to feel like I'm not turning over my life to the company. I am only getting some applications from it, and I'm protecting their data. But my personal data really doesn't factor into the equation. Now, obviously, given these two, it's pretty clear or implicit that we've really focused on the bring your own device to work scenario. The enterprise owned phone scenario is supported, but some of these decisions early on to be more consumer focused might sway the decision in those specific scenarios. Okay, so I want to go through an overview, kind of a 30,000 foot view of what happens, the major players and the various pieces of data from an end-to-end perspective. It all starts with the company. They go to Microsoft and sign up for a company account in the Windows Phone Dev Center. Perhaps a lot of you already have this done, and you may have noticed a couple days ago there were some changes in the Dev Center such that there is a new ID that's available, and I'll show you how to use that to apply for the certificate. So once you have a company account, you can go to Symantec, who is our exclusive certificate authority for Windows Phone 8 enterprise apps. And you go to Symantec, you get a certificate, and then you're set up and ready to go. The company then takes those certificates, creates the app enrollment token that I mentioned earlier, and distributes that to phones that it says, specifically, that phone is allowed to install my applications. So, and only those phones that have that token installed properly will be able to receive the applications. Number five is the company actually creating either licensing applications or creating in-house applications, signing those applications, and hosting those on a site that makes sense for the enterprise. There's not a specific location that we mandate. And then, obviously, deploying those to the Windows phones for those that are actually enrolled. So step four has to happen first before step six happens. Users obviously launch those applications over and over. Updates can happen through a device management server. And any phone that's enrolled in at least one enterprise will do a periodic phone home to Microsoft services to check on the account status. And I'm going to cover more details on all of these points in the upcoming slides. Starting with how to create an account and acquire a certificate for use in the enterprise ecosystem. It all starts with a dev center. Like I mentioned before, it has to be a company account. Individual accounts, student accounts, and other account types don't apply. You have to have a company account to be an enterprise in our ecosystem. I wanted to point out that the publisher name that you used when you created the account is actually used in the confirmation dialogues I mentioned before to the user. So when I go to enroll in an enterprise, that company name will appear. Are you sure you want to enroll in this company? Same thing for app install. So it's you want to make sure that that name reflects what you want to show the users that represents your company name. You can then go to the Symantec site to acquire a certificate. You take this new ID that showed up. It's labeled the Symantec ID. You put that in the Symantec site along with the email address of the account. And then you walk through the rest of the wizard to acquire a certificate. Now, those two pieces of data are not all that you need. It's not just the pieces of data are semi-public data and not something that we would base the whole decision on. There's actually a corporate approver that you specified when you had created the account in Windows Phone Dev Center. And that same person is inserted into the approval process such that when any certificate process, whenever you go through the certificate process, they get an email saying you must approve or reject this request for a certificate. Another note that you'll be running through the Symantec Wizard on a PC, and the private key that's generated, the certificate request, and the cert are all installed on that PC. You can then export that to a PFX or a P12 file for use in our tools that Sean's going to show you when he comes up. And you can move it to perhaps a production environment or another environment that that suits the company. All right, so now you've acquired a certificate, and I wanted to point out specifically a few fields in here that are relevant to the enterprise feature. The first is the publisher ID. It's in the subject name. It's actually the UID in the subject. And this is really a critical piece of data. It's the unique identifier for an enterprise. In fact, it's also called the enterprise ID or the Symantec ID that you just saw on the Dev Center. So it goes by multiple names, but all of them equate to the exact same thing. And that is a unique identifier that specifies this enterprise and is used to bind all these things in later, such that an app enrollment token signed with this certificate is bound through this publisher ID to an app that is signed by this certificate. So it's a critical piece of data. As I mentioned before, the publisher name is shown in various dialogs. It's also in the certificate. The issuer, there's only one issuer. There's only one route that's accepted for Windows Phone 8, and that is through the CA, through the route provided by Symantec. So you can't self-sign certificates. You can't get, frankly, any certificates off of any other route than this specific one. The certs themselves are valid for 12 months. So every 12 months, you will go back, get a new certificate, and renew the enrollment in the phones that you've allowed to enroll in your enterprise. There's a new EKU, that specifies that this is an enterprise apps certificate, and it's checked at runtime on the actual phone. You won't have to worry about that too much because anything that changes up to that CA will have that EKU in it automatically. That's what there was actually a question in an earlier session about how much this all costs. And I wanted to address that here proactively. The company account itself, as you may know, is $99 a year, and the certificate the price that Symantec sets on their certificates is $299, and those have to be renewed once a year. So, all right, we're going to go into the app enrollment and deployment section. The first thing I need to explain is the difference between what we call managed enrollment and an unmanaged enrollment. And it's simply managed enrollments are where the phone creates an association with a device management server. So a managed phone is one that an MDM pushes policy to and has a deeper relationship with. Unmanaged enrollments are ones that are just not that. Right? They're not managed by an MDM server. So they don't have any specific control from a server. And this table kind of lists some of the features and how they play out for the managed and unmanaged scenario. So it matters which scenario your company supports. We imagine at least the bigger companies will support both scenarios to support perhaps full-time employees and some contractors and other employees that may come and go that might have primary enrollments elsewhere. So the managed scenario, the way that the user gets enrolled is to go through an inbox settings applet, and I've got a slide on that after this, so I'll show you some screenshots on that. You can push policy for that. There's a set of policies that the device management server can push down that Windows Phone 8 supports, but there can only be one of these enrollments. So I can only have one primary enrollment hooked up to a device management server at a time. I can obviously unenroll and re-enroll a different one, but only one at a time. Apps are installed through the managed scenario from the device management server. But typically the device management server would push a company hub, and that company hub then would be the gateway, or the company store, if you will, to show more applications that can be installed. And Sean's demo is going to go into a lot more of what a company hub can do. Because it's a managed environment, you can pick up app inventory, again, of the applications that enterprise has installed. You can also do silent app updates. We don't support pushing new installs, like I mentioned before, but you can update an app that's already installed on the phone. There's two ways that you can actually unenroll from an enrollment, a managed enrollment. The IT manager can go ahead and say that maybe an employee no longer is on the payroll. So they will push an unenrollment, and then it's also called a selective wipe, if you will. It doesn't do a full wipe of the phone, although that's one of the policies you can push as well. Instead, it deletes the enrollment, the app enrollment token, and it deletes all the associated applications that were installed. So it kind of wipes the company half of the phone. In an unmanaged scenario, kind of a different set of features. There's some better, some worse. You enroll through an email attachment. You can, and Sean's going to show you this. In fact, he's got his demo is going to walk through a lot of these steps for the unmanaged scenario. You can also send a link in the browser. Because there's no server involved, there's no policy management, but you can have an unlimited number of, there's no fixed limit, which means it's not unlimited. There's no fixed limit on the number of unenrolled, unmanaged phones that you can enroll. Apps are distributed, again, similar to how the token did, through email and the browser, or you can, again, go through the company hub. If that's downloaded, you can use that as a company store to go download more applications. Because there's no server, there's no app inventory to query. You couldn't do that through a company hub, actually, but this is referring to the device management piece, which there is none. There's no silent app push. Every app install will query the user, even if it's an update. And there's currently no way to unenroll from that enterprise. It will expire after the 12-month period. So I promised I was going to give you some screenshots of the managed scenario, because Sean's going to be doing the unmanaged scenario, so I'm not going to cover that part. But for the managed scenario, you go through a system settings applet. There's a new one in Phone 8 called the Company Apps. I tap on that, and it gives you a standard disclaimer and gives you a chance to add an account. That's done through entering in your email address and password. It'll do an auto-discovery to the management server. It'll pull down a certificate if it needs that to authenticate with for future communications with the server, as well as it'll allow you to push an app enrollment token. Once it's that baseline piece is finished, it also gives the user the option to go ahead and install the company hub that's associated with the enterprise. If there's no company hub available yet, that checkbox will be removed. Once I'm done with that step, I'm now enrolled in that enterprise. This is our dog food server. And I can go into the settings, and I can delete the enrollment here. That's the local unenrollment, as well as force a phone home to the server to see if there's anything to do. So if the IT department says, we'll go in here, and then make sure you sync up with your server when you're on Wi-Fi or something, this is where you would do it. Okay, so let's go into some more information about actually enrolling a particular phone. You're going to take the private key and the certificate you got from Symantec, take the Windows Phone SDK tools, and then once a year, because the cert expires once a year, you're going to generate an app enrollment token. And that token, as I mentioned before, if that token is installed on a phone, it indicates that that phone is enrolled with that enterprise. It has the publisher ID. Sean's going to show you a more detailed example of what an AET looks like. That'll be deployed via one of the methods we talked about before, but hopefully over an authenticated channel. It could be an email attachment, a browser link, pushed via a device management server like the screenshots I just showed. And when it gets onto the phone, it's going to be validated for its signature and to make sure it's still valid, not expired. And once those pass, this phone is now enrolled in that enterprise and ready to receive applications from that enterprise. It can't receive applications from other enterprises, as we mentioned before, only those that it's enrolled with currently. Okay, so before we get into how you actually deploy applications and kind of the walkthrough of that, we need to mention a few things on ingestion and certification. Like I mentioned before, Microsoft is not in the loop for an enterprise doing deployments. Instead, the company itself is solely responsible for both the quality of its application and any impact those applications might have on the user. Nothing submitted to the Windows Store. Everything's solely at the discretion of the enterprise. However, in the Windows Phone SDK, we do distribute something called the Windows Phone Marketplace Test Kit. It has a battery of checks that it does that give useful data on the quality or various metrics of your application. Some of them are listed below, the various capabilities it uses, some APIs, see if those are on the restricted list, performance on startup, et cetera. And there's at least that many that I didn't list. So we would encourage companies to use that test kit at least as a data point. I mean, you can run it and ignore the warnings or the errors that it spits out, but at least run it, get a data point as to how your application stacks up, because some of these same checks would have been run at the marketplace ingestion. So it's a good data point to have. Speaking of capabilities, as you probably already know, when you submit an app to the marketplace to be distributed on the marketplace, only certain capabilities are allowed, capabilities that allow me network access or location access, et cetera. But because there is no ingestion, right, you don't submit your application to Microsoft, we've moved the checks for capabilities, for the allowed set of capabilities, to install time. So when the app goes to get installed, there'll be a finite set of capabilities that an app may request from. And if it asks for something outside those boundaries, like a first-party capability or an OEM capability, second-party capability, the install will fail. So that'll so you need to pay attention to that when you do your capability management. And that Windows Phone Marketplace test kit would point that out if you had run that. One capability in particular that we need to talk about is the location capability. When you go to install an application from the marketplace and it has the location capability, the user is prompted specifically for, you know, this app is going to track your location or could track your location. Are you sure you want that? And you're given the chance to opt out at that point. But again, because there is no platform support for that dialogue in the enterprise scenarios, that requirement is now pushed to the enterprise application. So if your application uses location, you'll need to prompt the user, make sure that they accept the implication of that, and give the user an option to disable the tracking of location. All right, so now we're ready for app deployment. It's going to look pretty similar to how app enrollment did. You're going to take the key and the certificate you got from Symantec, take the application that either was developed in-house or licensed externally, and take the Windows Phone SDK tools and create a signed and optimized ZAP that you would publish on your company store. Now that store, it's really up to the enterprise as to what that store is. It could be a SharePoint server, it could be an online server, it could be one of your device management data points or distribution points, whichever one fits best into your particular scenario. So that'll be deployed to phones, again, over an authenticated channel preferably, via email, browser, MDM, or the company hub, all those scenarios depending on what that company supports. There's, again, a validation step. In this case, the ZAP is checked for all the signatures, both the ZAP itself and the binaries inside. You have to be enrolled in that enterprise, so the association, again, from that publisher ID that's in the certificate will be taken. We'll look up the associated app enrollment token, make sure that's valid, and then allow the installation to take place. The capabilities, like I mentioned just prior, are also validated to make sure that no OEM or first-party capabilities are specified. All right, so now we've got phones that are enrolled and they've downloaded applications. What happens on the phone at runtime of the applications? It's pretty straightforward, really. It's not rocket science here. The user launches an enterprise app via maybe a start menu or the app list, or it uses one of the APIs, the Company Hub APIs that Sean's going to demo. And the platform realizes it's an enterprise application and goes and needs to look up the associated enterprise app enrollment token to make sure that you're validly enrolled. So it checks that, make sure it's valid, make sure it's not expired, and make sure it hasn't been revoked. So that's the first time I mentioned revoked, which is a good segue into the phone home slide. So specifically, any phone that's enrolled in at least one enterprise will periodically phone home to the Windows Phone services to deliver and receive some data. Specifically, it sends the device ID, so the raw unique device ID for the phone. It sends a list of the publisher IDs corresponding to the enterprises that the phone is enrolled with, and then a list of app IDs for each of those enterprises that are installed on that phone. And in return, it gets a status for each of the enterprises that were specified. And if that status is invalid, it indicates that something is wrong with the account, likely a revocation, and that particular enterprise is shut down. So any apps from that enterprise would not launch from that point on, and they wouldn't be allowed to be installed in the first place. the reason this phone home exists, you can kind of imagine that it's like an OCSP certificate revocation check with a little bit of extra data, the first bullet there. We send that data up to get some more tracking information about trends. That was a T word. More trend information that tells us basically two things. It tells the number of unique device IDs associated with a particular enterprise and the number of unique applications deployed for a specific enterprise. That data, again, the trend line of that data can indicate a need for more investigation, such as there's 1 million devices with this enterprise. It's probably unlikely. Something's wrong there. We should go look out, find out what's going on. Or if there's 1 million applications, or maybe 120,000 applications for that particular enterprise, we need to go find out what's going on. So it's only used for that kind of early warning system, if you will. So I mentioned it was periodic. Specifically, it's done once a day. It's similar to the marketplace phone home that looks for app updates and app revocations in the marketplace. We also trigger an immediate phone home, or schedule an immediate phone home, when any app enterprise enrollment is done or any enterprise app install is done. So we try to minimize the window where there's a revoked enterprise that can go ahead and deploy applications. But because this is this particular feature is integral to the integrity of the enterprise ecosystem, after a certain number of consecutive failed attempts, 7 in this case, we're going to block enterprise applications from being installed. So any new enterprise apps that the phone sees would not be installed until such time that the phone was able to connect to the Windows Phone services and download the status of those applications, of those enterprises. Any app that is already installed on the phone will continue to work. So if you're on a prolonged vacation and don't have access to Wi-Fi or some cellular data connection, your apps you have installed on the phone will work, will continue to work. It's just you can't get more apps, which is probably okay because you probably can't connect to the data connection or the internet. You're probably unlikely to get applications anyway. Just the sample protocol to make sure that everything is as I said. The device ID is sent. A list of enterprises, in this case there are 2 enterprises enrolled on the particular phone, and then a list of apps that are installed for each of those enterprises. The response that comes back from the server indicates or lists each of the enterprises and then the status of those. As you notice, that second enterprise is actually invalid, so apps from that particular enterprise would stop working and you could not install more applications for that. And the first enterprise listed would be unaffected by this. Okay, so with that, I'm done with my half of the presentation. I'm going to turn it over to Sean to really dig deep into the company hub specifics and how to use the tools to deploy your applications. And then we'll do question and answer at the end. Thank you.
Thanks, Cliff. This thing working all right? So yeah, I'm going to go through and look at some specific implementations of how you would implement this kind of enterprise app hub in your company. Most of this will apply to sort of the unmanaged scenario that Cliff was talking about, but some of it also applies to the managed scenario, and I'll call that out. I'm going to go through a couple slides here first, and then I'll switch over to this laptop, and we'll do some stuff. So we're going to look at how to actually sign the apps, how to generate tokens, how to generate that application enrollment token, and then actually looking at how, when you're building your own company app, how to install and query for apps that are on the device, as well as launching enterprise apps on the device. So the first thing we're going to look at is generating tokens. So that token was the piece that you have to distribute to everyone who's going to use your enterprise hub. It's the AETX file. So you start off with the PFX file that you can export from your machine that you got the cert from. And then we provide tools in the SDK. We provide this tool called the AET generator that will generate this AET file for you. So I'll just show you quickly here what that looks like. All this stuff is pretty straightforward. So if you have an SDK prompt here, you can just go quickly, and here we go. So here's AET generator, and I have my PFX file, and if there's a password for it, this will also generate the password. And you'll see here, here's that enterprise ID showing up again. And we've generated an XML, an AETX file, and an AET file. We'll take a quick look at what's inside those over here. So we'll just do no to all for these. Great. So again, you know, this enterprise ID shows up in here. And then the other sort of interesting piece is that both your CA and root search show up in here. So that's the XML file that's generated. The tool then also generates an AETX file, or sorry, an AET file. All that is a base64 encoding of the previous XML file. So if you're using the managed scenario, this is what gets pushed down when you do that enrollment from the settings control panel, is this. And then if you're doing an unmanaged scenario, you get this AETX file, which is a further provisioned XML file. And this is what you can pass around to anyone who you want to enroll in your enterprise hub. So you could potentially send this by email or put it up on a website. And what happens is, you know, so I'll show you in the emulator here. If you go and let's just do this. And if you go and install one of these certs, what happens is you get this. Your user will get this kind of dialog, and they're asked to add this token to their device. And so now, at this point, your phone is ready to install any enterprise apps from that enterprise that are associated with that token. So that sort of leads us to the next step, and I'll switch back over here quickly to the slides, which is how do I assign these apps? So in order to do that, Cliff mentioned this, the AET needs to be regenerated every year when you sign up again with Symantec, you'll have to regenerate your AET or AETX and distribute that to all your customers. Signing apps. So in order to be deployed to a device, all the every executable file, every file with a PE header, as well as the ZAP itself, needs to be signed with your cert. Fortunately, to do that, we provide some nice tools in the SDK. We provide a ZAP sign tool, which is actually a wrapper around sign tool that understands how to sign ZAPs and how to sign files that are inside them. So I'll show you quickly how to do that. Over here. So again, we have. Here it is, app sign tool. So again, we're using the same PFX file, and we just point it to our ZAP. This is just could be any ZAP that comes right out of your build, out of Visual Studio. And again, this signed it pretty quick, pretty straightforward. If we actually take a look, here's the file here that got signed. And you can see that it was actually signed with my cert. And then if we go and take a look inside, you'll see that the DLLs inside are also signed. One other thing you can do, you should do before you're deploying to an enterprise app is if some of you were in some of the earlier sessions, we talked a little bit about NGen and optimizing the ZAPs. We do that up in the cloud and marketplace when you distribute your apps to the public, but we don't do that, obviously, for enterprise applications. So if you do want to optimize your ZAPs, which is you absolutely should do because you'll get pretty good perf improvements, you should also run the middle compile tool, MDIL compile tool, on it first. And again, fortunately, provide a nice little PowerShell script that will do both the optimization as well as signing your ZAP for you. So if you this is also in the SDK directory. All this stuff is in the SDK directory. And here we go here, script runs through. This does both the MDIL ZAP compile as well as signing. So if we go back over here, we have, this actually generates a new ZAP in this case that's been optimized. And if we take a look inside, we will see that both we have our optimized DLL as well as the MDIL file list. This is now completely optimized, just like it would be if you had submitted it to Marketplace for the general public. And then the other thing you can do is kind of a bit of a pro tip is you can actually add that PowerShell script as a post-build step so that you can so that whenever you build your Zaps, you will get that signed and optimized file build for you. So it's that simple to just sign your Zaps and deploy them. At this point, once they've been signed, you can just email them or put them up on a web server, and they'll just get installed. Again, we'll just go to let me switch over here. Thank you, guys. So let's see here. So there we go. So I just typed in. I just had a Zap posted somewhere online. We get the same sort of experience where the user's asked if they want to install it. And again, your company name will show up here. You'll say yes, install. And then if we go over to the start menu, we'll see that my app has been installed and it will run. So it's as simple as that if you just want to distribute apps either on a website or by email or whatever. If I don't have email set up on this emulator, but if you just got an attachment that was a Zap, the same thing would happen. User could click on the attachment. They would get the same experience where they're asked if they want to install it. And if they click OK, it'll be installed. The other option for installing apps, and one that's also applicable to the managed scenario, is to install them via your own company hub. So you may have seen in some of the other sessions a demo where we've shown a company hub, an apps for reviewers hub that's got a bunch of apps in it that you can install and download. And I'll show you sort of the key pieces of how that was built coming up next here. So we provide a bunch of APIs to do installing, querying, and launching applications. Most of the installing and querying APIs are in the install manager component. And I'm just going to run through these slides, then I'll show you in code, so we're not switching back too much. So the add package async API will send you an event when either your app is installed or at various points while it's installing. So you'll get notifications when you first call the API, as well as when that confirmation dialog that you saw to cancel or install is shown. Once the user accepts that, once the app is finished downloading, and then once the app has begun installing, and then, of course, once it's complete, you'll also get called back. We also have some APIs to query. Once those apps are installed, you can query which enterprise apps are installed. So if you use find packagers, for a current publisher, this will retrieve all the apps from the same publisher assigned with the same cert. So these are all the apps that you've installed. Quick tip is that this will also include your own app. So if you have a company hub installed that's signed with your company cert, it will show up in that case. You can also query which apps are currently installing, so you can get progress if your app gets navigated away from and brought back to while an app is installing, so you can get a set of pending package installs. And then the other piece is while you're debugging, and I'll show you how to do this in a second, but while you're debugging, obviously, your app's not signed when you're debugging. So if you set the publisher ID to a GUID that incorporates the UID of your that's in your certificate, then you will be able to actually query for apps that are installed. And I'll show you that in a second. Let's move over to the code here. So first piece is... let's take a look at installing. So I have a list of apps here, and if I click on one of them, we'll go in here, and again, we're calling our add package API with the name of the application as well as the location that we'll download it from. Install Manager will take care of the download for you, so you don't need to worry about that. It will actually use the background download service that you can use, that all third-party applications can use. You should be aware that the same requirements apply if you are using that. So there is like a maximum download over cell that will still apply. That's set by the mobile operator. It's normally 15 or 20 megabytes. So all those things apply in that case as well. We can also hook up to some progress handlers. And we'll get this called each time. So if we go over here, we'll see it's asking us if we want to install. Yes, we do want to install. And then we get a progress callback with progress info. So because it was because we were waiting a bit there on the debug, it's just giving us 100% right away because it was able to download quickly and install. So you won't always get all of those events, but you may get them. So now we can see that it's installed. And if we click on it, it launches, which is the next thing I'll show you. Actually, I'll do query first before I do launch. So the other thing we can do is we can query for apps that are installed. So we'll do that. We'll launch again. So now that we have an app installed, we can call find package for current publisher. And this just gives us back a set of packages that are installed in here. This is just a MVVM application, pretty close to the template where I'm now updating my view model and my model with what is actually installed. And this will just return all the packages that were installed with for that enterprise. And then the one thing I wanted to show you quickly was how to get that publisher ID set properly. So if we go back here, there's a couple places where you saw that. That ID, I mean, it shows up here when we do the AET generation, the AETX file here. So this ID here, so this is whatever, 4,000,008. If we go into calculator, convert this into hex, we will get 4,000,008. And if we just put that in the at the front of our publisher ID, that will tell the package management APIs to look for apps that are signed with that particular certificate. And then the last thing I want to talk about is launch. So I'll go back here. Launching apps. So those packages that were returned, those package objects, you can call launch on them. And there's nothing that sort of interesting here. I will show you that. We've done this already. So if we click on one of the installed apps, again, we did find package for current publisher. It returns a set of packages. We can then call launch on these packages. And we can pass any parameters we want as well at this time, if there's particular parameters you want to pass to the application. And as simple as that, the application launches. So that's it. That's kind of all you need to do if you want to create your own enterprise hub. And to sort of wrap up the things we went over, Windows Phone 8 companies with a DevCenter account can get an enterprise cert from Symantec. This will allow them to generate a token which controls who can install those apps on their phone, either via the AET file if you're using the managed solution, or by distributing an AETX file to anyone who you want to have access to your apps. Microsoft is out of the loop in terms of the quality and lifecycle of the applications. They don't get submitted to Marketplace. So if you're building applications for enterprise hubs, you're in control of the quality, and any certification pieces are all done by you. There's a couple ways to distribute applications. You can use a managed mechanism using an MDM or a company hub, or you can distribute things directly in an unmanaged way using either email or browser or a company hub as well in that case. If you do use MDM, you can also push policy, and you can have applications update on their own without user intervention, but again, they can't install on their own. The user has to be involved in the initial install of the application. So that's it. You guys made it through build. Congratulations. It's the last session. If you have any questions, go ahead and line up by the mics there, and Cliff and I can answer those for you. Otherwise, everyone, have a safe trip back. Thanks for coming. Go ahead, front
two mic. Questions. First one is, I think in one of the other demos, they showed that you could show marketplace applications in the company hub. So for example, you could show the Bing Maps app over there, and you can tell your employees, if you want to install stuff, just go to our company hub. You don't have to go to this, the store application, and you will be able to install from there. How do you do that?
So you can actually provide deep links through the marketplace client. If you provide a specific URL, it'll go up to the marketplace and install the application.
And then will they be able to launch from there as well?
No. The company hub is limited to only the apps that are distributed and signed by its publisher, that particular enterprise. And that obviously the Bing Maps app or any other marketplace app is not signed by the enterprise. So those would not show up. You could install them, but you cannot query them.
Second question is more around what's the definition of a company, because if you are a large corporation, you may have a lot of other companies inside you.
Yep.
Is there any limit on the number of enrollments or you know, signing up with Microsoft or Symantec, anything along those lines?
Right. There's not a specific limit, and to your point, companies can range from a one- or two-person company up to a 100,000 or 200,000 employee company. As far as breaking down one of those larger companies into subgroups or organizations within that, you can acquire multiple certificates, multiple company accounts, and you can emulate that. Again, you can only have one managed account, and you can have an unlimited number of the unmanaged accounts. So you could have kind of the one, you can take Microsoft as an example. We could have the Microsoft-wide managed account, so everyone gets policy from one specific location. But then if the Windows Phone division chooses to have its own enterprise, it can go ahead and acquire a cert, sign its own applications, and only and us, because we're members of the Windows Phone team, would have access to the enrollment and the applications therein.
Okay, I've got two questions as well. So the first one is, what happens after a year when the certificates expire? So do you need to uninstall, resign, and reinstall all the apps?
Right. So the two things. The app enrollment token does expire every year. So phones that have that the prior year's app enrollment token would expire, and the app enrollment token would be no longer valid, and apps associated with that couldn't be installed or launched. So you need to renew the app enrollment token first on all the phones. If it's through a device management server, you can automatically push that enrollment token down, at the 11-month period or whatever the correct time is for your specific application. Or the user would go back, if it was a manual enrollment, they could click on the new app enrollment token link or email attachment. With regards to the applications, they can be timestamped. So if you add timestamp cross-signature, they will be valid. They'll continue to be valid. Right now, the timestamp isn't supported quite yet, so you'll have to re-sign your applications that are on your company store, your distribution point. You wouldn't have to change those that are already installed on the phone. That date is not checked anymore.
Okay. The second one is, if I do a device reset, does it unenroll in the unmanaged scenario?
Yeah. If you wipe the phone clean, it's going to remove all the certificates that were installed, the associations that were created with that. So yes, it will remove that association.
Okay. Thanks.
So I'm a company who's helping client build applications, and I like this process of using the tokens and simple publish all applications for a beta purpose or continuous deployment, actually, to help them be involved in the process of developing applications without going through the beta program, and also not for me having physical access to the devices. I can publish daily applications, daily builds, right, through the website. I think that's a good process. So I'd like to comment on that. But the other one is also, I'd like to integrate this with like Team Foundation Server in the cloud for a build script or such, so have a really automatic continuous deployment to the customer. But how does the SDK new SDK play with the server OSs? Can I install it on the Windows Server, or can I deploy this through like?
I don't believe the tools install on Windows Server.
Because I can use the SDK and yeah. use that in the source code and the source tree, but I also like the engine and the. Mm-hmm. Those tools wouldn't be able to run in the.
I think the main piece that doesn't work on the server is the emulator itself. So I would say your mileage may vary with what works on the server.
So it might work.
Actually. Yeah.
Cool.
It might work.
Thanks.
You talked about MDM servers for the enrollment model. What's the process for actually building your own MDM servers? I haven't seen any documentation for Windows 8 on that. Have you released anything there?
Yeah, there is the documentation is an evolving state, I would say.
So it's not public?
It's not public quite yet. We're working on getting a final document out that explains here's exactly what you can do, here are the messages that you can you get from the phone during the enrollment process, and here's the type of responses you can give, the policies you can set, and examples for all that.
So is this a facility that enterprises are going to be able to set up their own MDM management server and programmatically control policy and certificate push?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
It's still coming. We are working with some partners to get to work out some of the documentation issues and make sure that the process is ready to roll in production.
Hi, I just had two questions. First one was, you mentioned this briefly about being able to operate disconnected, so the device doesn't have the ability to phone home at that point. Is there a gotcha or anything we need to know about a device that's going to be disconnected, you know, no cellular network, no Wi-Fi for a day, a week, a month? Is there something to be concerned about there where something's going to not function after a certain period of time, or is it?
So the only part that shuts down after a certain number of consecutive failures trying to phone home is the ability to install more applications.
And that's it.
So you can, that's it. The existing applications will continue to run and there won't be any other side effects other than more apps can't be installed. So you can imagine that if I were in a very tightly secured environment that maybe didn't allow outside access, so you couldn't actually, maybe there's an intranet, but there's no internet, so you couldn't hit the Microsoft service.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of somewhere where the enterprise-owned phone scenario or the highly secure scenario may break down with this model.
Okay, I gotcha. And then the other question was, is there a limitation on the number of devices that can be a part of the enterprise system you have in place?
Yeah, there's no limit to the number of devices.
Okay.
And I don't imagine any device management servers would okay. have a feasible limit either.
Sort of legal so. Limit, I guess, or something. So.
There's no limit that we impose.
Okay, cool, great, thank you.
So during development, if I need to install apps to devices, I can use Visual Studio, but that requires me to do one at a time. So if I want to enable my like QA testers to do that themselves, I have to use this approach. Is there sort of a middle ground where I don't need to pay the $299 to Symantec mm-hmm. to get that enrollment certificate? For the development phase,
for the enterprise enrollment and for the enterprise ecosystem, you have to go through those two steps. There are, I guess, a few different ways that you could go through to deploy applications in kind of a development or beta phase. The first is to dev unlock their phones and sideload unsigned applications so that they can run them. It's not always the best way, but it's usually in a small environment that works pretty well. The marketplace itself has a beta capability. So you can actually launch a private beta of that and distribute a hidden link to the marketplace app and then never publish it. Or you can sign up to be an enterprise and there's some flexibility into how you could use it as a beta mechanism as opposed to going through the marketplace.
So if I use the marketplace beta, does that cost me?
Just your normal developer account.
Right.
Okay.
That's
okay.
$8 right now, so...
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Quickly get it.
That's right. Thank you.
I also have two questions, though. So the first one is, what kind of policy features are supported?
Yeah, there's about 15 or so policies. It goes from pin lock to enabling BitLocker to setting up some things that it's essentially the same policies that you would have for Exchange ActiveSync.
Okay.
Plus there's two or three that were added for Apollo. You can disable the SD card And you can set BitLocker on.
Do we have a document on that?
It's probably with the MDM documentation.
All right. Do you know if you guys support auto email configuration?
Email can be configured through a device management server.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be.
Yes.
Okay. So when do you guys think that the MDM server spec would be out?
Yeah, I don't have a specific date. I imagine it would be soon, I guess. But I don't have a specific date or even quarter for you.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.